I want to read Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, as we continue our series, Stewardship of Giving. As we share this sermon series each Sunday, I ask you to join me in prayer. Ask God to speak to you and to others. Ask God to touch you and others, and pray that we grow to become a tithing church. I just saw baby love up there. That's my wife. Stand up, honey. I didn't see you. Stand up, honey. That's my baby love. Yes. It's been joy. All righty. Good to see you, Sister Freeman. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the New International Version. And the Bible says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." The word of the Lord. Title is, Why Tithe? A fellow pastor, thank you, ushers, a fellow pastor shares a story about a member of the church who always quotes scriptures during Bible study. And one day, as the pastor teaches about God's expectations for Christians, the pastor says, "God expects Christians to study the Word." And the member says, "That's right, Pastor. The Bible says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The pastor says, "God wants us to attend worship regularly." The member says, "That's right, Pastor. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." The pastor says, "God wants Christians to tithe." And there is silence. Sheer, unadulterated silence. And the pastor pauses for a moment. And the pastor then asks the member whether she has a verse for tithing. And the member says, "Now, Rev, my Bible don't say that." So the member goes from, "That's right, Pastor," to, "Now, Rev." She goes from the Bible to my Bible. Just thought I would share that story that a preacher shared. Tithing is a difficult concept to preach and for many to receive. As I prayed and reflected upon this series of sermons on the stewardship of giving, I thought about the difficulty people have with tithing, giving one-tenth of one's income to God. And as a pastor, I understand why many pastors are reticent about preaching tithing, especially worship on Sundays. It's much easier to preach an inspirational, feel good about yourself sermon, sermons that engender hope, sermons that soothe the weary are better received than sermons about giving and tithing. And I don't think any pastor anywhere really wants to get up and preach about giving or tithing. Although tithing is a difficult subject to broach, it is an important subject for the church, and I want our leaders to understand that. It's an important subject for the church, because any discussion about the stewardship of giving has to include tithing. Tithing now is not the only, it's not the only approach to giving in the scriptures, but it is an important approach, and I want to address the question, why tithe? The text says, Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And so why tithing is biblical. God tells us to tithe. It's biblical. Why tithe? It's biblical. As I said earlier, tithing isn't the only scriptural approach to giving, but tithing is biblical. It's a method of giving established by God for the support of God's work. In Leviticus, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, the Bible says, a tithe or a tenth of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So God calls for a tenth. Are y'all with me? Now, this is a sermon about tithing up front. So we're talking about giving. So you can look at me and you can smile and nod your head and say amen. Because you know what I'm talking about, right? Come on. Let's go with it. You don't have to. You have to retreat. Stay with me. All right. So the tenth is not the maximum expectation. The tenth is the minimum expectation. So some of us think when we give a tenth, that's the ceiling that God expects. That's not the ceiling, that's the floor. The tenth is the minimum God expects, and beyond that is our offering. Through the years, many persons have conceded. Some people have grudgingly conceded that tithing is biblical. Okay, Rev, tithing is in the Bible. And they have even conceded that God tells us to tithe. But some people contend that tithing comes from the law, or the Old Testament, the law, and that Christians are not under the law, but under grace. And that is partially true. What is true is Christians are not under the law as it relates to right standing with God. We gain right standing with God through Jesus Christ. It's the work of Christ that puts us in standing with God. Christians are under grace, but what is not true is tithing comes from the law. It doesn't originate under the law. In fact, tithing, giving one-tenth, precedes the law. It comes prior to the law. In Genesis chapter 14, Abram, in response to God's graciousness, gives a tithe or a tenth to Melchizedek. Jacob, in Genesis, enters into a partnership with God and agrees to give a tithe or a tenth. So tithing is a biblical method of giving prior to the law. Tithing takes place under the time of the law, and tithing takes place after or subsequent to the time of the law. Even Jesus doesn't come to destroy or do away with the law. Jesus comes to fulfill or accomplish the righteous intentions of the law. Jesus even tells the religious leaders of his day in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So Jesus says tithing is what you should have been doing. He encourages tithing during his ministry. Now, In 2014 to 2016, the church council of our church, all of the leaders of our church, deacons, trustees, deaconesses, and leaders of all groups, began working on our church constitution and bylaws. And we worked on it for about 2 years before we presented that document to the church for ratification. And even before the church voted on it, we took 2 weeks and ask the members to come out and ask questions and talk about the document and go through the document. We had sessions in the day, sessions in the night, for people to come out and talk about it. And when we discussed giving in the church council, we discussed tithing. And many in the church council felt so strongly about the biblical warrant for tithing that they suggested that leaders should support the church through tithes and offerings. And that suggestion was put in the Constitution under deacons, trustees, deaconesses, so that all leaders, because you set an example as a leader, should support the church through tithes and offerings. So they saw it as a biblical warrant for the congregation. So we cannot deny that it is biblical. It is a biblical approach to giving. So that's why we tithe. It's biblical. Another reason is Tithing is fair. Tithing is fair. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So when God issues this message, it is given to the community of Israel as a whole. You see, the community, at this time when you read Malachi, you know, I've heard Malachi 3, 6 through 10 for years. We've heard that recited in Black Baptist churches for years. It may have been recited in other churches, but I've only been in Black Baptist churches. And I know the church isn't black, but, you know, predominantly black. Anyway, and I never understood the context of the verse. What was going on? The community was going through spiritual and moral upheaval. And as a result of that, many in the community fail to honor their vows to God. And so when God calls for this tithe in Malachi, the call is not an individual call. It's a corporate call to the entire community, that each member of the community is called to bring the whole tithe. And when it says whole tithe, it means the first tenth. So that before you take off any other tenths of your income, the first tenth, the whole tithe, should go to God's storehouse. So, beloved, God isn't just speaking to some of us. God is speaking to all of us. All who acknowledge the lordship of Jesus fall under God's design for stewardship. We are not asked to give what others give. We are asked to give based upon how God has prospered us. So tithing is fair because everyone gives the same percentage of what God has provided. If your income is $1, then the minimum gift is 10 cents. If your income is $100, then the minimum gift is $10. The person who gives a tenth of $10 gives the same percentage as a person who gives a tenth of $1,000. It's not the same amount, it's the same sacrifice. It's fair. It's fair. And so then we don't have to set up a tithe box. When I was growing up, they had these boxes for the tithers. And then they would call together a tithe line. All of the tithers would jump up during worship and they would march around and give their tithe first, sort of to send a message to the non-tithers, in the church. We don't have to do that. We don't have to print names in the bulletin to say this person gave this tithe, this person gave that. That isn't necessary. When we all make the same sacrifice and the same commitment. Now, the tax code in this country, in the United States, has so many provisions that help the wealthy maintain their wealth. There are tax write-offs and benefits that lower income earners cannot access. It's shameful how many high bracket persons access strategies that insulate them against the tax system. And so then you hear stories like this political leader, this person paid nothing in taxes. Well, they didn't literally pay nothing. They take taxes out of your check, but when they file the income, paid nothing in taxes. This person paid nothing while all other people in lower brackets are paying so much. The system isn't fair. The system is designed to keep certain folk in place and in power. But tithing is fair. Tithing is fair. It doesn't matter what level you're on. If you tithe, you're giving just as much as somebody else who is tithing. It enables each person to contribute on the same basis. So tithing is biblical, and tithing is fair. And third, and I'm done, tithing generates resources for the church. Text says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And here we go to the context of Malachi and what's going on. What Malachi means is tithing provides the resources to maintain God's house and carry out God's work. Malachi prophesies during a period of spiritual distress and moral decline. And what the prophets of Malachi's day see is a dystopian image of the community of faith, an image where there is injustice and there is sin and chaos. That's what they see. The priests in the temple are offering sick and injured animals, in other words, polluted food, on the altar to God. The Sabbath is being neglected by God's people. And people are just going through the motions of rituals for God. The Levites, the priestly tribe, are forced to abandon their duties in the temple and go out and make a living. And divorce becomes widespread and brings scandal. The poor are overmortgaged and reduced to servitude. The spiritual foundation is crumbling. Injustices are piling up. And people do not think serving God is worthwhile. So what's going on when Malachi talks about tithing is a lot of decay among the people of God. A lot of problems in the temple, a lot of problems in the community, social and spiritual upheaval is going on. And Malachi says that the people ought to come back to God. He calls upon God's people to return. That's what that book is about. Return back to God. It calls for a renewal of God's house as the center of the life of the community. And it calls for a return to the tithe so that the resources can be replenished in God's house. In Nehemiah 10:37-39, the Bible says, "Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all our trees, and of our new wine and olive oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes up to the house of our God, to the storerooms of God's house. The people of Israel are to bring their contributions of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms of God's house, where the articles for the sanctuary and for the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the musicians are also kept. We will not neglect the house of our God." In other words, they are saying we're going to restore the resources to God's house. And beloved, we are living in similar times. The pandemic, the natural disasters, the senseless shootings, the vitriolic messages that permeate social media all point to a need for change and a need for the work of God's house. And the other day, a woman got raped on a train in Philadelphia, and nobody intervened to help her, and nobody called 911. So we are told we need change. We need the resources of God's house. And that's why Malachi says, bring the resources so God's people can be taken care of. Someone said, when we talk about tithing, we're talking about building souls and making saints. Because God calls us to evangelize the unchurched and the unsaved. God calls us to make disciples. God calls us to minister to the needs of persons. God calls us to provide the resources and the staff. And God calls us to carry out God's work in the world. And beloved, those things require resources. And tithing helps the church to obtain resources. Tithing helps the church to have food in God's house. Now, I know that's not pleasant to hear, but if we don't have the resources, we cannot. It's not just that we can't keep the lights on and take care of it. We can't do anything for the work of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this. When my kids were young, we did that tooth fairy thing. And I know you're not big on tooth fairy and Santa Claus, all that kind of stuff. But we did that tooth fairy thing. If a tooth came out, we'd say, put your little tooth under the pillow. And the tooth fairy will take it and put something under there. And we put a quarter under the pillow. I don't think we ever put a dollar under there. and we were never really quite consistent. In fact, you know, some of the other kids would say, my tooth came out, nothing was under the pillow. We said, oops, we forgot. Tooth fairy gonna get you tomorrow. Tooth fairy get you tomorrow. We were never consistent. We couldn't keep up with that stuff. But I don't know what the tooth fairy gives today. You understand what I'm saying? A quarter worked in the years ago when we had our kids. I don't know what they're getting, but a quarter one. It takes more today to do what we need to do than it took years ago. It takes more today, beloved. And I said it to you on another Sunday. If you still at the same level you were 40 years ago, that level will not work. Did you hear me? It will not work. So tithing helps with the resources of the church. And as I conclude, I'm trying to wrap it up. I know that it is difficult for a pastor to advocate tithing because a pastor is a beneficiary of tithing. Pastors are paid through the resources and gifts of the church. And many accuse pastors of promoting giving only to pad their pockets. And some have done that. Some have. They are crooked people in every profession and in every arena in life. They are crooked people who do what they should not do. They're not just crooked pastors. They're crooked deacons, crooked trustees, crooked deaconesses, crooked ushers, crooked choir men. I'm not talking about any of y'all in here. I know ain't no crooked folk in here. But I just wanted to make it objective. I want you to get the point. Don't think you can just point at the preachers. A whole lot of folk crooked. But even though that there are people who do what is wrong and have the wrong motivations and intentions, any responsible pastor and any responsible leader will lead the congregation to a healthy life of stewardship to support the work and ministry of the church. Because if somebody doesn't teach us to do it, we will not learn to do it, and we will not do it. And also tithing should not be done out of guilt. Folks should not be influenced to give because of guilt. And we should not demean people who do not tithe. But I tell you, there's a difference between guilt and conviction. Guilt is when you've done something wrong and you feel remorseful about it. But conviction is when the Holy Ghost taps you on the shoulder and says, this message is for you. God is speaking to you, and God is convicting you of what you do and how you live. Spirit has to convict our hearts concerning the work of Christ, and that will impact our giving. And I know that tithing is not the only biblical source, and I'm going to talk about next week different other windows of giving. There's spontaneous giving. That's a way of giving where God just touches you and he just moves you and you just spontaneously give something special to the Lord on impulse. There's major worship giving. That's what we do in corporate worship. We give together. So the more people we have, the more we're able to receive in gifts. So that's more major worship. There's special planned giving, where we have a special cause, a mission project, something we want to give toward for a special plan. There's short-term major project giving, where we're going to give for a new building or capital improvements or a mission for our debt return. Those are gifts. There's annual budget giving. Tithes and offerings are for the annual budget giving. And then there's enduring giving, where we give memorial gifts in the name of our loved ones for the ongoing work and ministry of the church after we are gone. There are different avenues to giving, but tithes and offerings are the essential and fundamental way of giving to the church and giving to the cause of Christ. So why give? Because I care about this urgent message, the good news of Christ. Why get tithe? Because I care that the lost, the unsaved, the unchurched hear this life-changing message. Why tithe? Because I care that folk who are bound, folk who are broken, folk who are bruised, folk who are bewildered receive the healing and wholeness that come from the reconciling power of God. Why tithe? Because I care about the Church of Christ, her mission, her mandate, her welfare, her resources. I give to the Lord. Why tithe? Because I love Jesus, and I am grateful for what Jesus has done for me. Why tithe? Because I want to do my share in this ministry to which I'm called. That's my message to you. Pray about it. Think about it. Pray for others. Pray that God will touch you, touch me, and touch others. We extend the invitation to Christ, and we're able to extend this invitation because we are here in this sanctuary. And we are here in this sanctuary because somebody who was here before us left resources for Ebenezer to go forward and carry on the work of God. And so we invite you to walk with Christ. We invite you to get to know Him. And listen, if there are people on a train watching someone being brutalized and raped and are able to sit there and do nothing, change needs to take place. And sometimes change and transformation can only occur through the transforming power of God. Dr. Marshall said, we should not just worry about what we are doing and how we're going to survive. Give ourselves to the work of God and do our best to serve Him. Christ gives us the capacity to do that. So we offer Christ to you. As the deacon comes, the invitation is Christ. It's offered.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. All He will give me breath through life.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, brother.
To Christ.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let us prepare for the benediction. Till we meet again, may His peace be with you. Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this Senior Adult Sunday. And even though many of our seniors aren't present in this sanctuary, their hearts, their thoughts are here. And we just thank you, O Lord, that we are able to celebrate and honor their journeys, their experiences. Thank you for Dr. Marshall reminding us how important it is to finish this course and to not worry about the things we cannot change, and even the things that we can change, not to worry about those. Place our lives in your hands and to do your will. Thank you, O Lord, for helping us to continue to think about the stewardship of giving, asking this question today, why tithe? Tithing is biblical. You tell us to tithe. We tithe because tithing is fair. We all can give the same sacrifice and percentages. We tithe because tithing provides resources for God's house and for God's work. Help us to pray about it. Help us to think about it. Let your spirit speak to us and let your spirit touch us. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do God's will. May God lead you forth with joy and sustain you by His perfect peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. And the ushers will help you exit by rows, so please be patient.